This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back in the hole where they got him living like a rabbit, smarter than that.
Rob Bradford is brought to you this morning by McFarlane Energy, where they provide championship quality home heating oil and HVAC services. Brad Foe, good morning.
Good morning. I'll tell you who couldn't work for McFarlane Energy. Laz Diaz.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on. They expect perfection, and that guy was not perfect last night.
How do you feel about our robot overlords at least being deployed to call balls and strikes?
You know, listen, everyone knows usually I'm pro-robots, but I will say this. I'm not pro-robots in this case. We have to have a little human element in this. You just can't have the kind of human element that's sort of moronic. I mean, it's just, you can't miss 21 calls.
Well, 23, Courtney suggested now.
Yeah, 23. It's
up to 23. It's up to 23. See, overnight they added two.
it appears to be, if you go by the 23, I guess, the worst officiated game in baseball this season. And unfortunately, it cost the Red Sox an opportunity to win that game last night.
Yeah, and I don't understand, because if you look at Laz Diaz as one of the worst ball strike guys in the game, I mean, he was judged out to be that way all year long, and he gets the assignment of the ALCS. I don't understand how this happens. They didn't score. That was the main reason why they lost last night. But when you came down to the most important time of the game, he missed a call that was a pretty obvious call, I thought. And now obviously he missed some pretty key calls along the way as well. It was just, I don't understand how he gets put in that position where he gets the chance to be at the head of the class.
Great name, by the way, though. Sounds like a guy who is DJing at the Grand on Friday night.
Oh,
like Courtney and Santo need to go see Laz Diaz.
Yeah, I would go see him DJ. I wouldn't like to see him.
They say the stylings of Laz Diaz. Is that what they say before the game?
Is it short for Lazarus or
could be
Laz Diaz? That's what Alex Cora is screaming at him. Lazarus.
Yeah, but Bradford, I think, you know, he was horrible on both sides, and you had just alluded to it. It was about your inability to score runs. I mean, you've been averaging 8 runs, and last night you come away with 2 runs. I think it was just a matter of time in that game. When it was 2-1 going into the eighth inning, I had kept saying prior to that, they need one more run, maybe 2 more run insurance runs. And that ultimately why you lost the game, rather than us sitting here bitching about Laz Diaz, you know?
What are you related to Laz Diaz?
No, but I mean, I just feel like, you know what? I feel like with umpires, the strike zone's constantly changing, and it was changing throughout the game, and, you know, it was bad on both ends.
No, you're right. I mean, you're right, because this was the biggest reason. You looked up the minute that Mr. Brightside had, like, ended, everyone stopped singing that. That's when Jose Altuve put a big dose of reality in everybody, hit a rocket first pitch, Garrett Whitlock, and then it went from there. You knew that they were going to come back and not be able to score more than 2 runs off the corpse of Zach Greinke. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, the guy was throwing up 88-mile-an-hour slop, and you can only – he was out after 4 outs, and you can't get more than 2 runs off of that. I mean, this was supposed to be the best offense in the history of postseason baseball, and it was the exact opposite. You're right, Wiggy. That's why they lost, no question.
Well,
Well, Rob, in your article from last night, you kind of, a theme that you had, I'd say, is like overconfidence, whether it's fans, media. Do you think the team had any type of overconfidence issues going into last night's game that could have led to only scoring two?
I don't discount it, Courtney. I think, first of all, when we were going into that game, and I said it on the pregame, it felt like everyone was a foregone conclusion they were going to the World Series. And, sure, you can say that the offense was so good that there was no way they couldn't score 18 runs against the Houston Astros. But that's not how baseball works. And I do think that the players, looking at the players before the game, there's a fine line, as you guys know, between being loose and actually being focused like you should be. And I don't know if they were totally locked in like they were the couple games before. I don't know. I mean, this is a complete guess. All I know is this. I'll come back to it. That version of Zach Greinke, you should have scored more than two runs against.
Maybe Alex Cora should have refrained from dressing E-Rod down publicly the night before.
It's coming back. Yes, I know. He did hit cleanup for them last night.
Maybe Schwab's from Waltham.
Get it right.
Is it, what is it? Waltham?
It's not Schwab's from Waltham. Well, first of all, he calls it Waltham.
Waltham.
Right. Yes, but we know where you're going. Well, so what do you, look at Chris Sale tonight. And then who?
This is easy. This is Chris Sale gets one batter on base. That's Tanner Houck's coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, and we're going to be seduced by Chris Sale once again. We look into his luscious beard and we say, oh my goodness, how intense he is. He'll figure out a way to do this. But I'll say this. I've said this, like I've been wrong for like last three starts. With this guy, I feel like his razor sharp intensity is going to power him through not being able to throw a changeup. But at this point, you got to be a little bit worried. I do think that this is the reason why they did not pitch Tanner Houck at all yesterday. He was the absolute failsafe. But last time we saw him, he gave up a home run. So it's a very uncomfortable situation, and a situation that everybody thought would be very comfortable by now.
I want to say it was the third inning. Was it the third inning when Schwarber, it seemed like something had happened with his leg?
Hamstring.
Yeah. Were you worried about that at all since he's battled with that type of injury before?
As someone who has had a million bad hamstrings, as Wiggy has, I'm sure, right?
I mean, you're always a marathon runner, so.
Oh, listen. I'm sure Schwarber felt like I did coming down Boylston Street that one time. But he obviously had the bad hamstring that kept him out a month and a half. So immediately, like, this guy isn't going to be able to run down a first base. It's going to be a problem. He's maybe the most important hitter they have. Now, they say it's a cramp, and he kept on going. I don't think his at-bats were the same after having that hamstring cramp. So, yeah, I look at it, and you have to prove to me that you're going to be the impactful hitter, because that's exactly what they need. They need Kiki Hernandez to hit 750, and they need Kyle Schwarber to have a healthy hamstring.
Right, and Bradford, you might be right on Courtney brought this up. And, you know, I guess you got a better feel for being at the game to see, like, what is dialed in as hitters, and maybe thinking because they've had so much success over the, you know, past couple of games that they're swinging for the fences rather than just trying to get contact. Did you feel that in any way? Because I felt that a little bit with Kike, a couple swings that he has, like he was trying to put it on the Mass Pike.
Yeah, I felt it with Kike. I felt it with Hunter Renfro. And by the way, when I'm at the game, Wiggy, I'm just like you. I put my earmuffs on. I don't want to hear anything around
right.
me. I turn the volume down.
Focus.
I mean, laser focused. I think that there was a couple guys that were trying to hit eight run home runs. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. They got caught up in the whole, hey, you know, we are on a historic pace for home runs. And they'll deny that, but you look at their approach, and I know that Cora said, well, look at the seven walks, and that was a good sign, but I'll come back to it. There was so much slop early in that game that Greinke was throwing up that they should have teed off on more than they did, just in the Bogarts. Then they had a missed opportunity. Even some of the guys that were brought in toward the end of the game, they had great chances in that game. They had great chances in the game far before Laz Diaz blew it for them.
Rob, are you surprised they brought Evaldi in a tie game? I can understand trying to close it out, but tie game and now, you know, I get it was a bullpen sort of side session, but could this affect him for game six?
No, I wasn't surprised because, number one, it's a home game, so a lot of times you do that anyway. And he was already warming up. And they were going to go past what he ended up, 25 pitches or something like that. So they weren't going to go past a certain level with him. It is bizarre that now we're looking at a team that is in this position and their closer is a starting pitcher. It's like, you know, their closer is their number one starter. It's nuts. So yeah, I know, Ken. I mean, I wasn't surprised by listen to the pitching, the whole pitching scenario, and everyone can scream and yell about taking Pivetta out. This is how it was mapped out, and in a usual world which they live in, it should have worked.
Wiggy, from time to time, may suggest that there are must-win games. Is tonight a must-win?
Must-win Wednesday? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that this is like almost as close to a game seven as you can get. Anytime you go to a best of seven and you have to go back to Houston to play, and you also have a Nathan Eovaldi where he had his side session and he didn't pitch a whole bunch, but you can't expect him to be exactly like he was the other day. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a must win, but it's pretty close to it. Because the other part about it is, you got to get back to showing that you're the big dog here. You got to get back to showing that you're the team that's going to score 9 runs and not the Houston Astros, who all of a sudden feel really good about themselves.
Yeah, and Bradford, I believe with this game here, it is, because you don't want to be – you want to be the team that has the first the 3 wins in this series, because then that takes a lot of the pressure off your shoulder. So tonight's game is critical. It is super critical for this team, because if you lose the series, I think we're all going to come back to, and you're right, you were only able to score 2 runs off of Greinke, and that was pathetic on what he was doing last night, that you only were able to score 2 runs.
Yeah, I just got out my abacus, and you are correct, Wiggy, that they need to score, they need to win 4 games before the Houston Astros do. And I do think that if the Houston Astros win tonight, it's hard to envision going back to Minute Maid Park with you know, piecing all this together, and as good a story as the Red Sox have been, and think that they're going to beat that lineup 2 straight times there. I think that's a reach. And so, you know, take advantage of what you have here at Fenway.
Honestly, Laz Diaz on the abacus would have been better last night.
Ooh, listen, I know. Yeah, forget about the robots. Let's go old school. Let's bring out the abacus.
And Rob, if you want a ride, Wiggy and I are leaving for Houston tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We're going to drive the whole way. No stopping.
The problem is I'm going to have a middle seat no matter what transportation I have. So.
All right, Bradfo, must win or a near must win. 5 o'clock start this evening, 71 degrees at Fenway.
Sale day.
Maybe it's time to do away with dancing on my own. We may have to take bold measures.
Yellow jerseys.
Yellow jerseys. Oh, yes, maybe.
Break them out.
Listen, it's not the postseason unless you're looking up Mr. Brightside lyrics at 2:30 in the morning. I can tell you that.
All right, Rob Bradford, thank you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks, all.
All right, that is Bradfo. We can read more of Bradfo on WEEI.com. You can also stream this show at WEEI.com, or you can download the Odyssey app, and then you can listen to us from anywhere, and it will only take you a moment or two to download the Odyssey app. Coming up, we'll get to the dumbest of the day around 7:30. And Wick Grosbeck, the owner of the Celtics, will join us at 8:30 as the Celtics kick off the season this evening. And then Chaim Bloom, Red Sox chief baseball officer, on this show at 9 this morning. Here is Ken Laird and what is trending.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Get ready for the game with a trip to Shaw's. You'll tackle your hungry team with Shaw's party platters. Sandwich platters, wing platters, shrimp platters, veggie platters. That's for you, Greg. Shaw's can help you score a touchdown for all your fans this weekend. Order ahead by phone or online, shaws.com. Perfecting the art of fresh. Now, history lesson here, Greg. 2-2 series in the ALCS. 7th time this has happened since 85. 5 of the previous 6 winners of this game goes on to win the series. Lone exception, though, was Houston. In 2017, they were down 3-2 to the Yankees, came back to win both at home to finish it out and come back. But 2013, game Detroit series, ALCS, Napoli big home run in that game 5. just kind of sparked them. Koji came in for a five-out save. So, bottom line, important game tonight. Very pivotal. 4:08 start. 4:08 pregame, 5:08 first pitch. Back to Cora using Eovaldi for the one inning. Here's what Cora's explanation was.
He was going to give us one inning, and we fell right there in that pocket. It was good for him. I wasn't going to use him in extra innings because then I get tempted to use him for six. So I decided to use him in the ninth. And it didn't work.
Didn't work. Salem game one didn't work. Let's hope it works today.
Do you think he should have brought him in the eighth when they had the 2-1 lead?
No. I mean, in hindsight, I guess, yes. But Whitlock, I trusted.
Okay.
Whitlock and Houck have let you down a couple times this over the last
couple weeks. Whitlock served up a meatball to Altuve.
I understand that Alex Cora's philosophy is win this game, win today, and then worry about the next game. You know, figure out what you're going to do. You got to get there. But at some point, you know, even when it comes to Eovaldi, you got to have guys that are ready. You're now looking at Friday night and hoping that, you know, that he's the same Eovaldi after what he did last night.
Yep.
Right. I don't know.
Well, I think if you're a win now mode, that's why I asked, why not bring Eovaldi in if you feel like, oh, I have him going one inning? Why not bring him in the eighth when you have the 2-1 lead? If he gives you
But then you would have had him eighth and ninth.
Well, then maybe you come back with Whitlock. You would be able to pitch Whitlock in the ninth because Whitlock came in what, the eighth?
Seven.
Or did he pitch the seventh? All right, yeah, so you would have had to figure something out in the ninth.
Yeah. Altuve talking after the win as Houston gets back to even.
We knew this game was very important. You know, now it's down to three-game series with two games at home, so we know that, but we got to go out there tomorrow and try to win the game. We want to go back home 3-2, and, you know, we know we're playing a really good team, and what the relievers did today was amazing. We never give up, you know. I know it can be no outs, one out, two outs. We always have the same focus. We're trying to drive some runs, score some runs, get on base, and that's what we did the last inning.
Oh, wow, that is some bulletin board material. You hear that, Wiggs? We have two games at home. They only have one right now.
Put it on the board. Dodgers came back from down 5-2 in the eighth to win 6-5. Game four tonight is 8:08 in that series. Celtics opening up against the Knicks. Bruins in Philly taking on the Flyers. It's been a long time since game one of the Bees, Greg.
Yeah.
Odd start to the year for the Bruins.
Do you think Altuve's tall enough to get a rental car? He hit the National rental car side.
He is a little dude, but he can blast them.
Rebs tonight as well in D.C., 7:30 there too. Patriots put Winovich on injured reserve.
Talk about somebody who has done nothing since you drafted him.
You're right. Disappointing this year for sure. They need Uche and maybe Jamie Collins will have a big week this week against the Jets.
Somebody's got to get some pass rush besides Judon.
That's what's trending on your Greg Hill Morning Show.
As Brad Foe referred to it, it is a must-win Wednesday. You can't help but feel like you let something slip through your grasp last night. Like you had an opportunity last night, Ken, and that unfortunately you were not able to put the bats together to make it happen.
Yeah, and just the overriding feeling today is like you feel like you've totally outplayed them. Their pitching staff is a mess, and you're tied 2-2. Like, what happened here?
And I thought the second Bogarts hit that 2-run home run that was over because you had Bregman. They get on the board. They finally have a lead. The Astros get the first two guys in the bottom of the first, and you're like, wow, okay, they're feeling pretty good. And then before you can even blink, they're up again 2-1. I thought for sure it was over.
And Greinke did look bad.
Yeah, yeah. But is this do you believe that this is that team that doesn't allow that to get in their way mentally whatsoever? That they're the band of idiots type team that just goes out tonight and what
takes
happened last
business.
Night is just don't you buy into that when that's kind of how these guys have been described, and I don't know if that's nostalgia and people want to think they're like the Kevin Millars of old or whether or not it's it's really that is really what these guys are.
I would say yes, because based on what we know and what we've seen, we can only judge it on what we've seen. We thought that way their first series against Tampa, right? They go out there first game and they're like, oh man, this series don't look good. This team is going to get swept. Then they're able to come back and win that series. Then against the Astros, same thing. Down in Houston, you're like, oh, what's going on with this team? And they bounce back from that. So it looks like, based on what we've seen, that they're going to bounce back from a game that they probably know that they had a chance to take advantage of and go, we'll go out there and do what we've kind of done and go and hit the baseball.
I also think it's the Alex Cora effect, because we've been talking so much about how he has been able to kind of temper any type of emotions with this team and that they all respect him so much. So mm-hmm. I think after a loss like last night, he goes into the clubhouse. He says, guys, all right, this isn't over. We need to win tomorrow night. I'm sure he's saying that to the guys. They listen to him, and they want to go make sure that he gets what he deserves. And so
can we not, with the conspiracy theories that Major League Baseball is behind or Fox is behind extending these series?
Well, I mean, it
drives me nuts when people bring
it is what happened yesterday. You had the Dodgers somehow miraculously come back and beat the Braves down 5-2 in the eighth. And then you had the Astros finally win a game at Fenway to make that series go at least six. Crazier things have been done. But Courtney's dead on with her point, because the greatest stat of this entire postseason is that Alex Cora has never lost consecutive playoff games. I mean, this team bounces back like nobody else. And now Fox gets to have a series go back to Houston and print money. Every additional game of the series
is
Curtis, more money.
But Curtis, you don't buy into that, do you?
Of course. Why can't you? I mean, I think everything is based on the bottom line. I mean,
I would buy into a Curtis if the umpire was so bad and it only favored Houston. Then I might buy into that. They want to extend this series. But I'm not going to buy into it because he was bad on both ends.
Two worst calls were the J.D. Martinez strike three, which Cora almost got ejected for. Mm-hmm, I mean, he went nuts on that. And you got to admit, that is a horrible call. In the biggest spot of the game, it goes against Boston.
And MLB is smart. So if they did want to say do this, they're like, hey, we can't make this too believable. So make sure to split it pretty evenly, but just, you know, edge a little bit this way.
And who better than the village idiot, Laz Diaz, behind the plate? Because people can just say it's incompetence.
But it's good. It's good news. If MLB has their hand in this and they want to make it go longer and they want the storylines to come out on top, then you're seeing the Sox and the Dodgers in the World Series. You have to.
And Laz is short for LASIK, Greg, by the way.
How long have you been holding that one, Kevin?
That's Odysseus on Twitter.
All right. Dave, morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What's up?
I just wanted to make a quick point on the game last night. I think it shows the biggest weakness the Sox really have, and that's we don't have a closer. We don't have the lockdown closer that, you know, last night you said, okay, we can stretch. We're up 2-1. Let's put the closer in and see if we can get six outs. You had that in Papelbon. I think that, you know, to win the World Series, I think in a lot of ways you need that guy that you can count on. And I thought it was going to be Barnes, and then he just fell apart in the middle of the year. But we never addressed that issue.
Didn't you think it was going to be Whitlock though going into the playoffs?
It definitely could have been Whitlock. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was pitching pretty good. He gave up that one home run, but you know.
But Bradfo said earlier that Wiggy said everybody does it this way. There aren't closers anymore.
Well, this
I think you need a closer. I think it's been proven over the years, and you know, we won World Series with two great closers. Remember Papelbon, and we had, and then I forget the other guy's name. They closed it down.
Koji,
yeah.
Folk,
yeah.
Right. I mean,
we had a couple.
Scott Williamson.
Yeah.
I think that
Dodgers have a good one, and Kenley Jansen, he's been on fire.
I think the problem.
Don't tell Greg about Kenley Jansen. I mean,
the problem is that you were able to win a World Series without a closer, and that kind of is like that. So now that became, oh, we could do it this way. In 2018, you were able to win that way. But I do agree with the caller that in order to win, you know, consistently, and it's been proven through the Red Sox and all their championships, you need that guy that you know can lock down the ninth. And they've always had a guy here with the Red Sox.
Yeah, but this is quote-unquote Alex Cora's thing. So, you know, every guy is ready to go at every opportunity. And if that's what did it in 18, then you're going to have to believe that that's what's going to do it this go-round, right?
Pavetta is probably your closer. maybe not tonight, but in game six, wouldn't you think Pivetta comes in the ninth? He was good yesterday.
I don't know who he puts in the ninth. That's the problem. You know, I don't know. Why wouldn't he say, like, all right, maybe we could put Tanner Houck in the ninth? You know what I mean? It almost seems like there's really, like, he has a, it's kind of closer by committee on that day.
Here's a text from New Hampshire in which the individual suggests that I am ignorant when I don't believe that Major League Baseball might influence Game 6. So that Major League Baseball, you know how much money they make in these games? Yes, I do. So you're telling me that the Laz Diaz buys in and everybody buys into the fact that we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure that this series goes back to Houston. I don't buy it for a second.
I mean, look, it's a different sport, but look at the NBA. Tim Donaghy and Scott Foster, two very well-respected refs at the time, had shared hundreds and hundreds of phone calls when Donaghy was making illegal bets on games in the NBA. Foster still does the NBA Finals. Like, he's a ref in good standing in the NBA, and he's as dirty as can be.
Maybe it's not that deep. Maybe Laz just went over the border to Connecticut, where they just legalized gambling. Put a couple bucks down.
He went to New Hampshire. He didn't have to go to Connecticut.
Either way.
Courtney's right, though. If Major League Baseball is trying to do a deeper dive conspiracy, then you should be excited, because I would think most people would want Red Sox Dodgers. So
yeah. Well, why bother to even play? Let's just, we'll have everybody show up at the park.
Right.
The game will be, maybe you know in advance what the outcome of the game is going to be. And then you go right to the World Series, Sox-Dodgers.
You led the Dodgers to the World Series.
This is Matt. Hello, Matt.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
The obvious there is the fact that they left a million guys on base. You mentioned early, 0-8 runners in scoring position. But, Ken, one thing not to overlook is Vasquez makes the third out in the eighth inning. And then Pilecki should have been in there to catch Eovaldi like he has in, you know, for the last 2 months. Opponent's batting average is like 100 points high when Vasquez catches. So that was obvious. If Eovaldi was going to be a long guy who was going to go in there and chew up innings in a tie game, it was an obvious move that Cora missed. That's just black and white.
Mm. Well, Matt, I
think he made it out in the sixth.
I might agree with you with Whitlock in the eighth when Vasquez, he shouldn't have had him throw a fastball first pitch to Altuve. Maybe what you do is you say, okay, if we are going to give up a run, they're going to have to work to give up this run. You know, we're going to have to maybe pitch him down, pitch him inside. You know, we know that the strike zone was all over the place. So maybe make Altuve have to work, then serve him up with a fastball right down Broadway.
This is Michael from Connecticut. Michael, what's up?
Good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Greg, my condolences.
Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. So I actually have to agree. They need a setup guy. They need a closer. I mean, it worked in 04, worked in 07, it worked in 13. I get it in 18. There was, you know, quote-unquote bullpen by committee. But they need some kind of structure in that bullpen because, to me, it hasn't worked. But at the same token, it has worked because the Sox were able to have this big lead to where they could just throw anybody in there. Now, we know the offense is going to cool down, and it cooled down last night. But who's to say that the offense is going to pick up again to win this series? So, look, in the end, they need a bullpen, and better bullpen. So what do y'all think?
Yeah, I told you, I think Cora was able to win like he did in 2018 you saw David Price come out of the bullpen, who was big. I think Chris Sale maybe closed one of those games. So the mindset with Alex Cora is we can win this way. But now you're having issues here because now you're all over the place with your starting pitching.
I'm being called a rube now by somebody from Maine.
That's rude.
Which is irony.
What's a rube?
It's what you wear after you take a bath.
Oh, that would be a nice
robe.
Yeah, texter says, does Greg the Rube know that this isn't the 50s and 60s anymore? Everything is based on money. And so, therefore, this is obviously rigged. Therefore, it is obviously, that is exactly what's going on. Because
wasn't organized crime much more pervasive in the 50s?
Yes. There's a lot of docs on that.
What an idiot.
Yes.
Then I like Dodgers Red Sox. I'm putting my money on if it's rigged.
Danielle used to argue this on the old show all the time, that it wasn't only baseball, it was NBA, NFL. They want to extend. I guess you can't say it really with NFL, right?
But you want the best matchup in the NFL.
That they want to extend the series, and that they want certain television markets in.
And they want certain storylines.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I definitely agree there's something there, you know, and maybe you're right, Ken. Maybe it comes down to you keep it close, you know, and then it's like, all right, if the game's close, make sure you call it a little bit more towards the Astros so we extend this series and the Red Sox don't go up 3-1 and we're able to get maybe two more games out of this.
But I would just put it back on the people talking about this. Give me a reason why Laz Diaz was behind the plate last night. Because we know it's not talent. We know it's not that he calls a good strike zone. He's the worst in baseball. So why in a huge playoff game, the American League Championship Series at Fenway Park, do you have Laz Diaz behind home plate? If it's not for his ability, why?
He's the perfect fall guy.
I mean, he's a guy that nobody trusts or respects, so they don't think twice. They just think he's an idiot. Mm-hmm. They don't think he's not on the level.
It's like all right, if we do this crime, there's no way we're getting away with it. We're getting caught. So you let the village idiot do it, and then you're like, well, it was all on him.
All right. Well,
okay.
We'll have the opportunity to talk to Chaim Bloom about this and other things coming up at 9 this morning, but right now we got to do this.
It's time for...
He's the most notarized, biggest city in the history of Los Angeles.
The dumbest of the day.
Well, how much rubber?
Time now for the dumbest of the day, Curtis. We listened to everything that happened yesterday in this country, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest of the day.
The single worst place to be in the world right now is on a passenger jet. It is an absolute, like, third-world country in the sky. People act like complete and total morons.
Well, it's like Hunger Games.
Yes.
Honestly, I'd rather drive to Houston than get on a Spirit Airlines today. But unruly woman was captured on video by TikTok user Johnny, who said she bought Wi-Fi just now so I could film this. So she films a passenger who brought her own microphone and began waxing poetic about COVID in the middle of the flight.
Wait a minute. She brought her own microphone?
Yeah, it's a little lav mic.
What? How did she hack into the audio system?
I have no idea.
Did she bring
her
own boombox speaker or something as well?
Well, the worst thing is she didn't give the Astros lineup. She only gave the Red Sox lineup, which is bizarre.
Would she have like a Mr. microphone from the 1970s?
I think she had a little boombox with her.
Like, you mean one like you put in front of your mouth?
Yeah, it was like a little one.
And she started berating everybody about COVID.
Yes.
Okay.
The saddest part about it, she had a dog in a carrier, so she was traveling with a pet. She had to go back to her seat to get the pet because they put her in the back of the plane. So sad.
Did she say, the only reason why I ain't doing this is because I'm not hard to look at?
Yes.
Yeah, not hard on the eyes.
She was like, you should enjoy the view.
Also, is it true?
Was she easy on the eyes?
She wasn't bad looking.
Right, well, maybe.
Is it true that on every flight, like in Bridesmaids, that in the movie Bridesmaids, there's somebody in normal people's clothes?
You mean the air marshal?
Yes. Yeah, is that true? Every flight has one?
Supposed to be.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes. He's passenger 57.
Okay.
He's not an air marshal on every flight.
Yeah, passenger 57.
Well, there was for a while. There was supposed to be, after 9/11, there was supposed to be an air marshal on every flight. But I don't think there is one now.
Well, in that video, there is a guy who is in normal clothing who stands up.
He's on the cover.
Yeah, he seems like he is involved.
It's passenger 57. Count 57 people as they walk on the plane. It's always passenger 57.
What do you mean? It's always the 57th passenger who gets on?
No, it's usually Wesley Snipes, too.
That's is ridiculous.
Okay. Google it. Yeah. Curtis, you hit the Google machine.
Okay. Now, when Laz Diaz does the counting on the plane, does he get it wrong?
No, he gets the 8.
Okay.
Oh, I love she said she was easy on the eye, so
Google it.
Hey, props for confidence. I mean, yeah. Get up there. She really had a presence with the mic. You should hire her.
All right. That is the dumbest of the day. Courtney and the news coming up next.
This is the Greg Hill Show on EEI. It's time for...
Everybody has got drunk at some point in their life and made a silly choice.
The news.
Everything's just out the window, like rationality, common sense, decency.
With your host...
Juicy AF...
Courtney Cox.
Restless anal syndrome.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
You can put pasta in front of any children and they will love it.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
How have we gone nearly 2 hours without discussing the custom shirt that J. Charles Wiggins is wearing this morning?
I don't know, but I am obsessed with it. I want one.
Did you? This is for my boy Shine Time, Gresham Keefe.
You had a shirt made.
Yeah.
For your theoretical strip joint that you want to open in the city, which is called Dossiers.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the new mayor to win.
Okay.
Anissa.
So it would be Anissa Asabi George that would allow you to open your new strip joint?
Yeah, because she's from Boston. The other one's from Chicago.
Okay. So Wiggy is wearing, I just put it up on my Instagram in my story, but a Dossiers presents the ALC ass shirt.
The ALC ass?
nice job by Wiggy.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Who does that? Who does the one-off T-shirt for you?
Radman.
It's a guy.
Is it Bradfoe? How do you get those made?
This is a guy in the neighborhood. Make him. He turn around quick. Is quick criminal, turnaround.
Hey, it's Rob Bradford.
You know. The criminal sell him out of the back of his vehicle, or like how do you get one of those Dossiers?
Flipping jacks real quick. Yeah, they come quick.
In your well-to-do suburb, they have a T-shirt guy.
No. He don't live in that leafy suburb.
Oh, okay. The best part about the T-shirt is it looks like it's vintage almost. It's a perfect worn-in look.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We go for the vintage look.
Yep.
Also, everybody hits a home run at Dossiers.
Smacking someone on their ass.
Things in the category of things I haven't mentioned yet. I have 4 courtside seats for the Celtics home opener, which I'm going to auction off to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation this morning.
Wow.
So $1,600 value, I believe. So if you would like to make a bid on those, take the family, take a customer, take a couple customers, whatever, then call the number that you would call this morning, 617-779-7937, and make a bid. And the number one bid at the end of the show at 10 o'clock will get those tickets. So that's 4 tickets. And I want to thank the team over at McFarlane Energy for donating those tickets to the foundation so we could auction them off.
That's Friday night, right?
Yes, that is Friday night.
Raptors, I believe.
Right. Nearly 90% of those who seek treatment at Northeast Men's Health enjoy terrific results. You can learn more when you visit northeastmenshealth.com. And here is Courtney with the news.
We have more tough news when it comes to the MBTA, guys. Service on the Green Line, E-Branch service, was altered Tuesday night following a derailment at the end of the line. Service was terminated at Brigham Circle for several hours due to a derailment at Heath Street. So they're saying that it's under investigation, but it appears that the trolley's wheels may have hit a skateboard that was on the tracks.
You wouldn't think that would cause a massive train to derail.
Right.
You would think skateboard. That would go right over it.
Yes.
Right. But here's a witness from the scene.
And I heard, that sound. I know I said, okay, either hit a car or derail. And sure enough, I see my window. It's bent up. I can see right now. Thankfully, no one was hurt.
Maybe we keep the skateboarders off of the NBA tracks in some way, shape, or form.
But they've got to figure something out. Yeah. People are not going to be taking public transportation.
Skateboard lanes.
Oh, now we're talking.
I mean, we already got bike lanes, so what's the diff?
Yep. You're right. Yep. A scary scene in Texas ahead of the ALCS in Boston. Important to note, nobody was killed before I get into this, but a fixed-wing multi-engine plane crashed in Waller County on Tuesday. 21 people were traveling to Boston to see the Astros play the Red Sox. The plane went off the tracks. It hit a gate. It erupted in flames.
Yeah.
And it's a shock. If you look up videos and photos from this scene, it is a shock that 21 people got out of this plane, did not die. The youngest passenger, 10 years old.
Jeez.
One person was sent to the hospital. Here's Sergeant Stephen Woodward from the Texas Department of Public Health.
Luckily, and we're thankful that all of the passenger crew members were able to extract themselves, and that's when the first responders came in to go to work to extinguish the fire.
Would you fly after something like that ever again, or would you drive or take the train?
It's like, wow, Travis Barker. That happened to Travis Barker. He was taking boats to go to Europe.
Yeah, he just, I think Travis Barker just started flying.
For the first time.
Did you see that thing, by the way, with Travis Barker and Khloe Kardashian? Kourtney Kardashian.
Yes, where she flipped.
Where he dropped his phone in between the seats on an airplane, and she completely lost her S and forced the people who, the flight attendants, to dismantle the seat. It took them like an hour and a half to dismantle the seat on the plane in order to get Travis Barker's phone back.
Craziest part about it, they were flying commercial.
Why didn't he just reach down there and get it?
Couldn't get it. For wherever it went in that spot. You've had that happen where your phone goes into that spot where you can't get it.
Wow. Yeah. You just have to work at it for a little
bit. They flew commercial?
Yeah.
What? I mean, why?
I mean, they were in business class, but I don't know why they flew.
It's a global recession, Curtis. They're struggling, the Kardashians.
The Kardashians are recession-proof. What are you talking about?
Right.
I mean,
one good sex tape, they're good.
Ken doesn't buy that it's a recession, but there is a recession going on right now. I mean,
it's going to come back like a rocket, Greg.
All right, anyway, sorry. I distracted you.
No, it's okay. New Yorkers super excited for Harambe return to the Big Apple. A 7-foot-tall bronze statue of the gorilla that made national headlines in 2016 after picking up and carrying that infant, the toddler, around and then got shot.
Picking up and carrying it. Is that what they call it?
Well, that's why people were so upset about it. But the statue is staring down the infamous charging bull. It's surrounded by 10,000 bananas.
You got to clarify this story. I can't understand what you're saying.
New York
is
putting up a Harambe
statue.
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
And it's surrounded by 10,000 bananas in Bowling Green Park. Here's a reaction by a passerby.
We were actually here last night, and we noticed that there was a gorilla here. And then once a truck passed, there was a whole bunch of bananas. And I immediately ran over here because to get that many bananas, it was a lot.
So people seem to be more excited about the bananas.
Well, people feel like he was wrongly executed.
Right.
You know, so.
That's a scary video.
What, Harambe?
Yeah.
You got to be better with your kids.
Oh, I agree. It's the parenting.
Yeah.
How long before Harambe's canceled and they removed the statue?
I don't think you can cancel Harambe.
Canceled Thomas Jefferson and Abe Lincoln.
That's different, though. Harambe was, he was just an innocent gorilla.
Yeah, Abe Lincoln just saved the country, but okay.
It is true, though. The kid did get into his living space,
I mean, do we know how Harambe felt about global warming and things like that? I mean, can we go back and examine Harambe's tweets, Curtis, and find out?
Ooh, look at this one he liked from Wiggy.
It's all right. It is gorilla season.
What else?
There have been a lot of photos and videos, I don't know if you have noticed this, on social media of empty shelves. I was saying the other day when I was grocery shopping that there was tons of aisles that were empty.
Mm-hmm.
It's worrisome to a lot of people, including myself. You go and you're looking for stuff, and it's crazy to me. Well, Chris Jones, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs and Counsel of the National Grocers Association, says that it's a work shortage, not a food shortage. So important to make that note. But Jen Psaki was asked about this.
Yes.
She is getting a lot of backlash from her response.
Just a question on the timing on the supply chain issue. Actions that the president has taken. It was clear in March of 2020 when COVID hit that the supply chains across the world have been disrupted. Even as the sort of work to fight back against COVID proceeded, it was crystal clear that things were not improving on supply chain. People couldn't get dishwashers and furniture and treadmills delivered on time, not to mention all sorts of other things. So why is it
the tragedy of the treadmill that's delayed?
Right, the problem.
So people are mad that she's making light of this. So the guy he brought up the treadmill first, but the fact that she made a joke out of it while people are really, really concerned when it comes to food shortages and being able to get necessities is kind of blowing back in her face.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have you been unable to find anything?
No, I feel like I don't know. Me and Courtney were talking about this the last time she brought it up. I feel like there's no issue. I get whatever I need when I go to Costco's. I don't have an issue with that.
I just find that it's a lot of...
He's doing that thing that Danielle used to hate where he adds the S to the business.
And like an Costco's. R to Harambe.
Harambe. Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. What, have you saw a shortage in the grocery store, man?
Yes, all over the country.
I think
everything's more expensive.
Well, stop going to damn Whole Foods, man.
I haven't been. I was looking for washer fluid for the... Or washing machine. Washing machine, like the...
Detergent?
Tide Pods type deal.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find them. I had to go to three different places.
I get those at Family Dollar.
Well, at some point, I'm sure that it'll affect those that are in the White House. And that, like, for instance, maybe when the butterscotch candy starts to run low, Ken, maybe the president will be affected.
No.
They'll fix the problem.
Oh, no. Werther's Originals are out.
It will happen when they run out of Depends.
Same thing, Ken, you idiot.
Right.
How creepy is this?
Creepy.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
Back up, you creep.
This one hits... close to home, as somebody who likes to go to the Rentham outlets quite frequently. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great place.
Do you shop yourself, or does Santo shop for you?
No, I shop myself.
Okay, all right.
Santo shops for
no,
you.
That is
she
not true.
She gives him a list.
Nope, not true. An Amazon driver is facing serious charges after Rentham police say he took pictures of women and girls in a bathroom at Rentham outlet. They said he was dressing up and going into the bathrooms to get these photos. Mm. Here's Rentham Police Chief Bill McGrath.
There was a mother and daughter reported that there was a person acting strange, man dressed as a woman, wearing a wig. Some of the children he allegedly had on his phone were 8, 9, 10, 11 years old.
Ugh, gross.
Absolutely Jesus. Disgusting.
Gross.
So not the guy playing that drop, Twitchers.
Oh, they want a specific drop to be played.
No,
that's too savage.
Doing it here.
That's way too savage.
Who do they want you to play?
Curtis,
you know what drop they want.
I don't.
It is even too savage for Ken.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And Courtney will lose it.
I will lose it. I might stage a walkout if we do that.
She may walk out if you do that.
Oh, Chara's still playing with the Islanders, so that's always good.
All right, so... That is not right. Obviously, you should not be dressing as a woman to go into the woman's room so as to film women or children. That is disgusting, and the individual should be locked away for an extended period of time.
Forever. Yeah. City officials declared addiction and homelessness a public health emergency on Tuesday, and Acting Mayor Kim Janey announced an executive order to combat a tent city that has popped up at the heart of the crisis in Boston. Here is Kim Janey.
We are working with the district attorney's office and the courts to ensure that enforcement itself is a pathway to services, treatment, and shelter.
So according to the order, no one will be forced to leave a tent unless they have been offered another specific shelter option. She's saying there's roughly 170 open shelter beds in the city right now.
Hmm. Well, I mean, is this surprising to people? I mean, we talked an awful lot about it at the start of and through the pandemic, that there were going to be people who had been displaced from their job.
Right.
Who, unfortunately, were going... Curtis mentioned this countless times, that they were it was going to cause addiction issues with people. And we've now gone from one situation when it came to an epidemic to a gigantic other epidemic when it comes to those who are using drugs and substances that they should not be. It's an absolute nightmare.
The true cost of what was done at the beginning of this, where we locked people inside, the only place that this was actually transmitting from human to human, and said, just stay there, don't go to a gym, we're going to close the gyms for 2 years. So people ate and drank, did nothing. And the only real thing that we could affect in terms of how we react to COVID is how we lose weight or gain weight. Because people inside had them drink booze, eat food all day, and then watch more and more people die. It's a really bad situation all around.
Yep. It is.
Greg, this is sensitive. I know, but speaking of gaining weight, this cheese chicken thing that you wrote in your mom's write-up, I got to get to the bottom of this. I mean, It was a nice write-up. And it was, I do condolences, what do obviously. But what, the cheese chicken she made you?
Well, my mom, who passed away yesterday. I mentioned this on the show. I think all moms do this. She mm-hmm. would make me my choice of meal on my birthday every year.
Oh, that's nice.
And okay. She did that well into my 40s. Is that weird?
And the meal was chicken and cheese?
Cheese yeah. chicken.
So what is that exactly?
How many calories are in a portion of this cheese chicken?
It was her famous recipe.
Oh.
So it was like...
I could share... I mean, I could probably share the recipe from memory. I mean, yeah. one would grill the... fry the chicken.
Oh, okay. Like a chicken cutlet?
Nice. Chicken cutlet.
Okay.
Fry it in chicken broth.
Okay.
Add a little cream to the broth and uh-huh. some other spices and things.
Okay.
That makes like a cream sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would put a massive hunk of Swiss cheese on top of that.
Swiss
and then,
cheese.
And then bake it.
Wow.
Would yeah. you eat that with any pasta or is it just?
Rice.
Rice, okay. All right.
Rice, get, my God.
Brown rice for sure.
A little of the, you add, get
sounds
a little.
Sounds pretty good though.
A little of the sauce over the rice.
I thought you were going to say like a parm. Yeah. Maybe a parm in that would be well, really good.
Well, no, I didn't want that to be the only, I mean, she taught me many great mm-hmm. lessons about life and about parenting and that wasn't the only thing that I mentioned.
I understand.
In my tribute it just, to her.
It's one of those things that jumped out. Daily cheese chicken. You know?
Are you suggesting that if she had fed me differently, I might look different today? Is that what you're suggesting, Ken Lear?
I just, you know, I'm curious.
Okay. All right.
Well, it sounds good.
Did you eat those berries, though, or no?
I did not eat the poisonous berries.
Should have tried it over pasta, though, every now and then.
Yeah, I was even at a young age, I was watching my weight. I asked for a serving of rice.
Wiggy's going to love this story. A Texas man whose gruesome Halloween props prompted multiple police visits last year. He's back at it again, and it's even worse for the upcoming holiday. Videos describing the Texas Chainsaw Massacre evoking scene are currently going viral on TikTok. Neighbors are pissed, but he's not backing down. Here is the creator, Stephen Novak.
Well, it's hilarious. I like seeing the reaction I get out of people. I don't mind upsetting people a little bit. There was a lady across the street that didn't like it so much, and I suspect that she called the police. They were afraid who was going to answer the door, I'm sure. But I showed up, and I said, hi. They said, would this all be yours? I said, what? Oh, you mean the bodies and all the blood? Yeah, that would be mine.
It is pretty cool. I'm looking at it. It is pretty cool.
It's pretty gruesome, though.
But it's that house. Like, you know, it's like that guy. Don't you like the guy? It's like whether it's Halloween or Christmas, they put the lights up. They go the extra mile. And I think at Halloween, that's what you want. You want to scare the kids. You want the kids to go home and go, I don't want to sleep alone tonight.
It is interesting what neighbors think that they are entitled to do with other people's front lawns. Yeah. Because it's really, you know, yeah, you look out, you see it, but it's just for Halloween. It's not like he has it up all year round.
Right.
Well, some people do keep them up all year round. I don't know if that's
the worst.
Because they're lazy or they love Halloween.
It's the worst.
Now, is this appropriate in the Twitch chat since I am obviously grieving? This individual says I am one cheese chicken meal away from a coronary. Is that appropriate?
No, that's not appropriate.
Can we go to like 24? I lost my mom yesterday.
Yeah.
Can we go 24 hours without mocking my appearance? In the
you know that's not happening.
It's my fault.
I don't get a pass. I don't get a pass.
Social media nowadays, people say whatever.
I mean, would people go to some kind of a wake or a service and say that?
No.
I mean, my Lord.
Well, your brother kicked me out before I even got there.
People are savages. Yeah. Absolute savages.
No, that's because it's not his real name. The name's probably like, you know, Donkey Brett 25. So he has. Like, it's not like he's got to worry about people knowing who he is or who she is.
All right, Facebook. It's moving away from its name, kind
what?
Of.
What? Yep. What do you mean?
The Facebook app.
They're rebranding?
They are rebranding. Huh. They're in a rebrand.
Trying to get a younger audience.
I think it's because of a lot of the controversy around Facebook in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. But the app and website, they're likely to remain the same. Mm-hmm. But the parent company, which also owns Instagram and WhatsApp, they mm-hmm. are going to change their name.
Mm-hmm. What are they going with? Election fixers?
Oh, God.
Is that what they're going with?
I don't think that will be there. Okay. I think they're trying to go away from that.
They're trying to get away from that. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But that's planned reportedly to happen next week.
Okay.
Right. A T-shirt has set a new record for the highest selling band T-shirt in auction ever. Would you like to guess what band it would be that set this record?
What do you mean? Like the rock and roll?
Yes, like a
vintage,
rock
T-shirt. Vintage rock shirts?
Yeah.
Rolling Stones.
I'd say nope. Jackson 5.
Nope.
LFO.
Nope. OAR.
NOP.
Beatles. Okay.
Nope. It is a Grateful Dead t-shirt that set the new record.
Wow.
Went for a staggering $17,640, which nearly doubles the previous record holder, a Led Zeppelin t-shirt from 1979 from a show. It's a show shirt, which was sold on eBay for $10,000.
Deadheads.
Yeah, well, the Deadheads. Mm-hmm. We actually have some audio from a Deadhead who was thinking about buying this shirt.
Dale here.
Yeah. Oh. Dale, big Deadhead.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he went to like 500 concerts.
Oh.
What's the AOC ass t-shirt go for?
This is priceless.
That would be a big seller.
Don't laugh at that shirt. There were people texting in who wanted, they want to win one.
Yeah, the AOC ass.
Can you get some of those that we could give away?
No, this is
it's a one-off. Just a one-off.
This we saving this thing.
Okay.
Greg, just so you know, in the office, Michael had a do not mock category where you can bring up things that you don't want anybody to say. So we'll talk about we'll put your appearance on that list today.
No, honestly, it would as I said earlier, the reason I am here today and every day is to be mocked and ridiculed. It makes me happy, and it's why I came to work.
Listen,
today,
so. Tell Donkey Brett 25 send the picture of himself.
That's not the individual's name.
Oh,
it's just a phone number, right?
I think it's in the Twitch chat. Oh. I think it's Thomas Paine, I think is the...
Tell Thomas Paine to send the pic. Let's see what he looks like.
Thomas Paine. Listen, I love everybody in Twitch. I love everybody everywhere. This is... that's what we do. We mock others in this day and age. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Kevin?
I just wanted to make a little comment about the recipe your mom makes. Also, my condolences to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, my mom makes the same recipe, and I think you're the only person I've ever heard have the same recipe. So,
really?
It was just something I wanted to make a little comment on. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry to hear about your mom, and my prayers out to you.
Thank you. Yep, my mom was one of those moms who had like 5 meals only that she made.
But I bet there were 5 great meals. Oh, no?
Yeah, they were pretty good, but...
she wasn't like the greatest cook? It kind of seems like she wasn't.
She was a pretty good cook.
Right.
But you're really just kind of the... kind of the same five meals.
It's a wheelhouse.
Can you make the list? Let's do power rankings. Bradfo can surface.
I'll tell you what I didn't like. She made stuffed peppers.
Oh, I love stuffed peppers. Oh. She put the raisins in them.
Everything I say, Wiggy loves them.
Raisins. Stuffed peppers.
Yes. 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 No, yes.
Kind of,
yes.
What kind of a serial killer puts raisins in stuffed peppers?
Yeah, lasagna.
No. My grandmother.
Curtis, I'm only doing this because you're cracking up, Curtis. That's the only reason. I hope you know.
I love it. You can literally say, like, my mom put, like, you know, cheeseburgers with tomato soup. And we could be like, I love that.
Oh, I do love stuffed peppers.
My grandmother's niece, my Auntie Anna, she would put raisins in the stuffed peppers. And
you're related to Auntie Anne?
No,
she
Anna.
She makes awesome pretzels.
And they were amazing. Mm-hmm. Anna had a little spice in there, too. Yeah, love the stuffed peppers and stuffed mushrooms, my two favorites.
What an interesting way to say that. My grandmother's daughter, my Auntie Anna.
Yeah. No, my grandmother's niece.
Oh, your grandmother's niece.
Yeah. She used to make Johnny Marzetti, it's a classic casserole.
All right.
From the Ohio region, I believe, is where Johnny Marzetti comes from. My mom was born in Ohio.
All right.
And Johnny Marzetti is pasta, hamburger, tomato sauce, cheese, but it's got some sort of a twist to it. Hmm. If you look up the Johnny Marzetti recipe, maybe I'll share that with
you.
Sounds
like a low fat dish.
Yes. Well, Curtis, it was the 1970s. People weren't overly concerned about what they ate. Good food. They weren't overly concerned about what they were eating.
Sounds good.
You know how that goes. Hold on a second. This is Bones from Marlboro. Hello, Bones.
Hey, what's up, Hill Dog?
What's happening?
Lovely Coco, Jerome, the rest of y'all. Greg, I just wanted to express my sincere condolences. I've got my mom passing to say a prayer for your family and so forth.
Thank you.
And that Johnny Marzetti stuff is fantastic.
Oh, you've had it.
And I've developed a real fondness for Wiggy the past couple weeks. But again, he always doubles back. He says something insane about raisins and stuffed peppers.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. My Aunt Deanna used to, she'd make them like that. I'm telling you, raisins and her stuffed peppers.
You're right. There's a Greek recipe that calls for raisins and stuffed peppers. I've never seen it, but we use right.
Curtis may be onto something, though, when it comes to the kind of food that was being consumed. Like one of the other things that she made was a chicken dish in which you would get a couple cans of the cream of mushroom soup.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And for that, and then there was cheese. Like, everything had cheese on it. What was what was going on with that?
It sounds like a hearty meal. I mean, Stowe's kind of, chili in the winter.
Is cheese like paint, where if you have an issue with your house, you can cover it up with a good coat of paint?
Yeah, if you put cheese on anything, right. it masks the dish.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And now they're in the process of applying the ricotta cheese, folding...
Cheese is like the makeup. The makeup makes anybody look good.
I just looked up the recipe for this Johnny Marzetti. It is literally beef and butter. My God. That's two ingredients.
Cheese are like the, today, like the leggings, stretchy pants that women wear.
Oh, yes.
That's what cheese is. It's good. No matter who wears it, you think it looks good. That's what the cheese is.
Johnny Marzetti died of a heart attack.
Oh, man. It's like the Atkins guy.
I don't know who Johnny Marzetti was. I'm assuming Johnny Marzetti was some sort of a famous individual in the Ohio region.
The thing with my mom and dad is that, like, my mom won't change what she makes, but she buys, like, reduced-fat butter and reduced-fat cheese that really makes no difference at all. It's like, you could just make something different, but no, you just have to use reduced-fat versions.
I can't stand the hardos who say that reduced-fat whatever, like, reduced-fat cream cheese tastes exactly like regular cream cheese. Oh, it does not.
The worst people are the ones if you're drinking a Diet Coke where they're like, you know that there's really no difference between Diet Coke and Coke. I don't care. I like the taste of it. Leave me alone.
No. All right. This is Eric from New Hampshire. What's up, Eric?
Good morning, Greg. I'm sorry for your loss, obviously.
Thank you.
In addition to thanking your mom for raising you right, you can thank her. You said she only made 5 meals while you were growing up, correct?
Yes.
Is that what fueled you to be a gourmet and go out to eat every night?
Yeah.
Because you rebelled against eating 5 meals?
That's probably it. That is probably it.
And I just heard from your kids, Greg. They said that they only had 2 meals. They were deep dish pizza that you made when growing up.
Well, there was the French bread pizza, the frozen... If my mom and my dad were to be going out to dinner, which they did like once a year, they would drive into Anthony's Pier 4, make the big trip into the city. It would be French bread pizzas for me.
You told me that in the office. It was the most endearing story. You were like, it was the greatest because I could put extra cheese on top of the Stouffer's French bread pizzas.
Yeah. See, there's a theme here. You're right. I would add extra cheese to the French bread pizza because there wasn't enough cheese on. There was never enough. Like, you buy the Stouffer's.
Right.
There's like 3 little tiny slivers of cheese on it. Like, I feel like somebody was slacking in the Stouffer's factory when it came to applying the cheese to the French bread pizza.
Cheese is cheap. That's probably why she used a lot of it.
But you're probably right about
that. It was a supply chain.
You were probably right about that. All right. Is there anything else news-wise?
Just one little note. Adele, who looks great right now, new album is coming out. Her new single is absolutely incredible. I think it's her best piece of work she's ever done.
That's an Adele stunt double.
You think it's an Adele stunt double?
Yeah, it looks nothing like her. I mean,
he said that for a long time.
I mean, I'm impressed. She lost a ton of weight. Don't get it twisted. But she don't even look the same. Her face.
Look how fat she is. LOL.
Her face changed. She's like Kourtney Kardashian. Remember how Kourtney used to look? Now she looks like Jessica Alba.
Chloe used to.
Oh, Chloe. Yeah, that's it. Chloe, I'm sorry.
The ALCS.
It is interesting because she was asked what her last meal would ever be.
Mm-hmm.
She said McDonald's. She likes chicken McNuggets, a Big Mac, and fries. She says she eats it at least once a week.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Your last meal's McDonald's?
Yeah.
Come on, Adele.
My ideal meal, my death row meal, my last meal would be a McChicken Nugget with a Big Mac and then fries. That's my 3 course. I eat at least once a week.
Oh.
Wow.
Would you eat? What would be your last meal that you would eat?
Oh, wow.
This all day, every day, chicken nugget.
You know.
Remember, first pitch is at 5.
It would be some form of a chicken palm. If I'm going to go out and, that's it, it'd be some form of a chicken palm, half pasta, with bread so I could make a little sandwich, some good Italian bread, a nice spucky type of...
Some kind of a salad beforehand?
No, no salad.
No appetizer?
Nah. Oh, no, I mean, an appetizer.
Like a slider?
Prosciutto, nope, prosciutto mozzarella wraps.
Okay.
From
Capital Grill.
Yeah, that would be the appetizer.
Okay.
And with some sliders.
Aperol spritz.
Aperol spritz.
Yep, we can wash it down with whatever.
Are we doing the Aperol spritz pick'em against Wiggy again on Friday?
Yeah. We're doing it until Wiggy wins.
Okay. I can't wait to... We got to set up the date. I can't wait to go get a...
Dessert?
Another one. Cheesecake. Love cheesecake.
Now, Danielle texted me about my mom yesterday, and she brought up my mom's go-to dessert, because she was from the South, was lemon chess pie. Have you ever had lemon chess pie?
No, I've never had that.
You haven't?
No, never had
lemon. Probably the greatest pie in the history of pie.
Really?
Lemon chess. Nobody, you've never had?
No, never.
What is wrong never with even you heard people? Of
that. I'll have to ask my mother-in-law. She's my wife's from the South. So
ask her about lemon chess pie.
Lemon chess pie.
It's like a Southern tradition.
Greg, was Johnny Marzetti your best man?
All right. He's got to be famous. You name a food after him.
All right. We will take a quick break, but I promise you, unfortunately, we'll be back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.